Welcome to Smart Muslima Podcast. Inshallah, if you find this podcast episode useful, please subscribe and tell your friends and family about Smart Muslima. Also, good news, I have a newsletter, and that's how we can stay in touch. To subscribe, please go to smartmuslima.com. Details are also in the podcast notes. In the newsletter, I'll be sharing my book recommendations, productivity tips, and online courses that I've created, and also information about a new book that I'm writing called Smart Single Muslima. Inshallah, it will help you to transform the way you approach love and relationships.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Today I have the honor of hosting Sister Farah Amin, mashallah tabarakallah. We'll talk more about, but this is the book that I'm so excited about. Sister Farah Amin recently launched her book. It says Smart Single Muslima, Transform Your Approach, Love and Marriage. Now, what is the book about? We'll do a free giveaway for this book, inshallah. You'll love it. Smart Single Muslima is a thought-provoking Muslim marriage guide for Muslim women. In this book, you will discover how to find a husband, how to find out if you are compatible, what questions to ask a potential spouse, how to deal with disappointment. Jazakallah khair, Sister Farah, for this book.
Assalamu alaikum. How are you? Are you okay?
Wa alaikum assalam. Like I said, this is a fantastic, fantastic book, mashallah. And I texted you, I said my 12-year-old and my 10-year-old, who will be 11 and 13 soon in summer, they loved the book. Especially my 13, the one who's 13, she was like, Mama, this book makes so much sense. So I want to tell the audience, like, Allahu Akbar, this is the need of the hour, like, really, honestly. And it's not a preachy book. That's the first thing that I want to say, you being a teacher, you've been teaching for how long now?
Oh gosh, it's been 15 years now, I think.
So you know the pulse of the student, right? You know, yes. you know how to grasp attention, alhamdulillah. So my first question to you is, why this, how, and you know, what was your vision with this?
Okay, well, firstly, Jazakallah khair for having me on. I love your work, you know I do. And I was so stoked when you asked me to come on. One, I'm really happy that you liked it. And just like to let the audience know.
Loved it.
Yeah, and it was, you know, I always get surprised when, I don't know what it is. I do get genuinely surprised when people say they really like the book. And that makes me, alhamdulillah, that shows there's something good in there, and it, all the good is from Allah and from Islam. Not, I just see myself as someone who, it's interesting that I've been reading lots of books. I think for many years I've been reading books about women and women's issues, mm-hmm. You know, by non-Muslim women and by Muslim women. And, you know, I think over time you start noticing things and making observations about changes in society, especially when you're concerned about women's issues. And I think, and it's interesting, I'm the type of person who, when I read a book, I write notes. I've now chucked away those notes and I turned it into the book, but basically I had many notes on different areas relating to women. And it's like it was turned into a bit of a puzzle that I was putting pieces together, because I was trying to figure out that why is it that as a Muslim woman, young women in particular, but to be honest, it's kind of gone to all ages, why is it that we're finding it so hard to get married? I kept hearing this. I don't know if you've noticed this as yes. well, that yes. Like as Muslims, we love talking about marriage, you know, that is our favorite topic. But it's interesting that more women are saying they can't find a suitable guy, they can't, someone who's compatible, or that, oh, there aren't enough men, good men out there. And it's interesting that non-Muslim women are saying exactly the same thing. Mm. And so I genuinely didn't actually set out to write a book, but I wanted to get to the bottom of, just for myself really, to understand why does this problem exist? And then, I also thought, well, what does Islam have to say about it? If there's a problem, Allah always gives us a solution. Mm. So then what is the solution here? Because Islam is relevant for, you know, from the past and for the present. So it's quite a tricky one to say. I didn't have a particular vision. And this is the other thing. I think through the podcast that I have, Smart Muslimah, again, it just happened that I was speaking to a number of single sisters mm-hmm. who then raised certain issues with me. And it was when I was discussing feminism that definitely then started to come up, that how has feminism affected our thinking? And so I wanted to produce a book which would, give a different point of view. There's a particular narrative that I think as Muslim women we're hearing and we've learnt. And I wanted to come at the angle, what I don't like, and you can tell me if you notice this as well, is that when Muslim women can't get married, the blame is put on the woman.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I don't like that. I thought, that's not, is that, Islam doesn't say that, the blame the woman. Mm-hmm. So let's think a bit, you know, more intelligently, a bit deeper, that, okay, the society that we're living in, is that causing issue problems for us? Is that putting, you know, barriers in the way? You know, are there certain ideas that we have been taught that actually they don't align with our faith? And so they are causing, is that we've adopted. So, okay, in the book, I focus on the ideas. I definitely don't blame men or women, because yes. I think that's a very lazy thing to do, to accuse men that they're not good enough. And to say to women, you're just to, you know, put a whole load of labels, whether you're, you know, the easiest one is to say they are feminists, so therefore, and they want too much. So I didn't want to do that. I just wanted to have an intelligent discussion so that the reader can then see, okay, what is it that, where am I going on wrong as an individual, but where is society leading me to the wrong path? Have I gone down the wrong path? And so I can change course, because I think everyone can change. Inshallah.
MashaAllah. No, you were so point on. And just letting the readers know the contents, like, for example, is marriage going out of fashion? Is it? Because a lot of our young men and women are saying, like, marriage is archaic. And you use that word and you talk about it. Mm. And then there's the different people who, you know, you were interviewing probably and whose perspective you've written. We want a religious girl, but not too religious. Do you know yourself? Do you have realistic expectations of marriage? Then there's one about the desire to be desirable. Like I said, that's my favorite one. All of it was my favorite. You know, the one that really hits home. Be smart, stop waiting, start living. Mm. Now, it's exactly what we are told about self-care and self-love and understanding yourself. But from the perspective that you come from, subhanAllah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And then there's this, and there are stories of people who did not have children, people who started hated marriage, people who got rejected so many times, people who, you know, mashallah tabarakallah, there's so much wisdom. Oh, of course, there's a mention of Bollywood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, alhamdulillah. What I liked about this was, like I said, my 13-year-old could understand it. So an 18-year-old would understand it. And me being 39 this year, alhamdulillah, I understand. I also said this is for the viewers. I said one of the topics that you touch, and it's a sensitive topic,
mm-hmm.
and we romanticize it in our khutbas, but we really don't follow it. Like, marry the person for the right reasons, a person who is earning halal income, because now we are very materialistic. For us, the mahar should be certain amount. And, you know, and I say this, we've made nikah so difficult and so easy. And you talk about it. Yeah. You talk about racism as well. I want you to a little bit explore for the viewers to understand, the ones who haven't yet bought the book, inshallah. Why were these things important? Were these one of those main reasons why our children are, you know, our children are just, you know, just the younger generation, just so weary of the idea of marriage? Like, our parents' expectation is this, our expectation is this, there is no middle path. And what should be the main ingredients?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I think just taking, like I said, I wanted to tackle the ideas that are driving our actions. And the thing is that I think as Muslims, we have to, when we're making mistakes, we don't need to publicly display our sins. I'm not saying that, but for a reader, when they're reading the book, if, for example, let's take racism, if they know that one of the, like, let's say, okay, their parents have said to them, you can only marry, I'm going to speak from a Pakistani perspective because that's what I am. Pakistanis generally will say, you marry a Pakistani, and then even within the Pakistanis, there are levels and grades that will be allowed. You know,
I couldn't marry outside of my caste system. That was my mom's first and foremost, and the most important thing. You will marry inside the caste. Yeah.
So that's it. So now then what I would then say is, we then have to question why. Yeah. Is that from Islam? I think it's a reasonable question to ask our parents. It's a reasonable question to ask ourselves if we're the ones who have adopted that idea. That where did the Prophet ﷺ say that we should do that? And therefore, and so if the Prophet ﷺ and the Quran and Sunnah does not say that, why are we holding on to it so tightly? And what I do see is that is a barrier put in the way of some women that want to get married. When you're told you can only marry within your nationality or your tribe or your race, that really limits who you can marry. So when people say, I can't find someone suitable, I want them to think, actually, is that not a reason why you can't? And if you took that away and take it away because Islam has forbidden it, you're like, you will be able to get married.
Yeah.
So now I know it's hard to do that. It's very challenging. But we have to start. Isn't that what Islam came to do? Racism is rotten. Nationalism is rotten. It divides us. It makes one person feel more superior to another, and then we mistreat them. You know, isn't that exactly what's happening in Palestine and what Israel feels about the Palestinians? It can lead to murder and genocide. But taking it just back to marriage now. So they're the kind of ideas I'm saying, question them. You know, think about it, question them. And if they're not from Islam, please reject them. And inshallah, you will increase the chances of getting married.
Yeah. My husband usually says that. He says that, like, you and I, we got married. Okay, fine. We understood where our parents were coming from. But now you and I, we live in the United States of America. We don't live in, you know, Pakistan. Mm. And the probability of our children marrying outside of not just the tribe, but even outside of the race is very high, 90% probably, right? And we should be very mentally aware that what is the criteria that we want our children to pick and choose from. Islam seen being on the right, you know, on the right track, understanding and actually living deen. And because at least I think you and I, we understand that. Mm-hmm. And we understand that. However, still there is a vast majority that does not understand. And then the irony is this, listen to this, subhanAllah, and this is what we've heard over and over and again. As a motivational speaker, I get so many emails from young men and women saying exactly the same thing. They're like, marriages are tough because A, they're very expensive, the ridiculous traditions, and marrying into the caste system. So, but you as a motivational speaker, you say follow Islam, but Islam says that parents are to be taken to the highest regard. So I cannot, and these are 30, 35 year old people. They're not like, you know, 18, 19 year old teenagers. And they're like, and they have their careers, and they have, and they've seen the world. But when it comes to marriage specifically, they're so gung-ho. They're so scared of not obeying their parents and disrespecting them, and then they're miserable because they're not married yet.
Yeah. So,
and you have highlighted that, like, you know, you said it as well, like, what is Islam? And so I think there's also, and this is not in the West. Actually, the children living in the US, they don't have a problem. They're like, okay, fine, you're not understanding me. I know what is Islam. I'm understanding Islam. I'm going to court.
Well, this is it. I think you've highlighted something really good that I think as the person wanting to, if you're someone who you want to get married, and if your parents are, of course, Islam says respect parents, but there is, if it means you are never going to get married, and the thing is that what does that result in? That does result in misery. That could result in people committing zina. That results in people turning to pornography. Yeah. Let's be completely honest about this, that if parents are being, there's a time where you have to put you have to say, actually, no, I'm going to get married. And as long as you're not committing, you of course do it respectfully. But I know if, you know, we can push the boundaries in a respectful way. And I encourage everyone to do that because, again, the number of women I know of who are unmarried because their parents are being completely unreasonable. Now, the thing is, I'll be honest, parents, That's why this book is not for parents. It's for the women. It's to really get women to be thinking, and it's not even for men, although some men who've read it really like it. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah. Because it's very respectful of both men and women. You have a chapter that says, are men really trash? Yes. Which is...
So. Yeah, because, and so I think we do need to be, you know, there's a reason why the Prophet said, marriage is my sunnah. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing, and it will help you to gain tranquility. It'll help, you'll have, you know, we know all this. So I think we have, women in particular, need to know when they should push the boundaries more. I'm thinking, like, for example, my husband, he's not of the same race as me. I'm Pakistani, he's Gujarati. And he had to be quite strong-willed and say, no, there's nothing wrong with her. Just because she's Pakistani, it's not. In the same way, I had to have very uncomfortable discussions with my parents. But then also, what it is, you don't do it on your own. You get family involved. You need allies. You need to get people involved to help you. Because if your parents aren't going to listen to you, do what you can to get other... And that's what... And inshallah, when people do that, and then, of course, you do the what. That's the first thing you do. But I think this is it. In Islam, we're not... We don't just sit passively, and if someone's saying something wrong to us, we don't just accept it. That's not an Islamic idea, mentality. So we shouldn't do that either.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. And I was going to say another thing. So women, two generations. It's not a generation thing. It's like, let's just say, a decade. So for example, a young man and a young woman, they fall in love, they're Muslims, but due to their restrictive ideologies through their parents, they don't get married. The girl goes into her 30s waiting. Now her probability of getting married has become very, very slim.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the guy, he's 35 and he's getting an 18-year-old to get married to, because okay, now he's finally given up to his mother's sobs, and like, she wants to see her grandchildren before she passes away. And so In my head, the woman, the girl who waited for that long and did not get married, she suffered, and she will continue to suffer. And that young girl who has no idea about life and is 18, 19, 20, and women do this to other women, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, but, and it's nasib, we understand, it's because you did talk about destiny, you did talk about qadr, you did talk about what's written is going to happen, and about disappointment as well, which is extremely important, because one of the fears is, I don't want to get married because I might end up like my parents' marriage, or I'll be unhappy, or I'll get divorced, or I just don't think I'm marriage material. Because you also pointed out in this book that marriage has not now become focused on our own personal growth. It's not about raising a family anymore. Please, that's the concept, right? So there's no question here. There's just basically letting the viewer know that this book is so practical. And it makes sense. But coming back to this, you also have a course related with this book. And you said that, mashallah, that course is up on your website. Alhamdulillah, people can go and get it. And inshallah, like I'm saying, we're going to do a free giveaway of the book and the course. So inshallah, you'll be hearing from us soon. What does the course, what's the purpose of the course? Like, isn't reading the book enough?
I think... you know, some people like books, some people like courses. I think I was thinking of it in that way. And I think some people just rather listen and watch videos and take notes. And I think there's more, like the book was, you could say like the book is the foundation. Right. And then I just add more in the course. You get the book, it's like you get the information from the book, but then I've added more things because I think, you know, as we know, marriage, I like what you said previously, that marriage in Islam is simple, but we as Muslims have made it complicated. And I think living in, Muslims living in the West in particular, it's the ideas that exist there. So whether that's, you know, individualism, so, you know, the whole idea of, you know, do what's good for you. You know, the idea that you'd want to sacrifice your time and your energy on a husband and kids, you know.
Sacrifice and compromise are taboo words.
Oh, right? Yes. Yeah.
Marriage, if marriage is attached to sacrifice and compromise, oh my God, there's something wrong with it.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is it. And it's because we're told to always just think of number one and do what makes, you know, you feel good and live life on your own terms. And, you know, that they're what we're hearing constantly. So this idea of going into a union where you will have shared roles and responsibilities, and sometimes you will have responsibilities that, and in Islam it is clearly defined, this is what the husband needs to do, this is what the wife needs to do, this is what the kids need to do, you know, it's nice and clear for us. But those nice clear rules are seen as like they're the jail bars of a, you know, and you're in prison once you get married, you know. Marriage was compared to a comfortable concentration camp by Betty Friedan. It's Betty Friedan who wrote the second. I've forgotten the name of her book now. It'll come to me. But she wrote that in the 1960s. I've forgotten my train of thought. But yeah, it was these ideas. What I'm saying is that again, we should question them. But within the course, then it's really a matter of, if you want more in-depth information, you know, then please feel free to, you know, do it. And that's what has tend to happen. People have bought the book and then they've also joined the course as well. It's pre-recorded.
It's absolutely important. I feel if especially for the girls that I'm wanting them to read the book and to learn from the course, because this will help change. This is that kind of book that helps understand better, that helps change the mindset. Extremely important. What has happened, and I believe this, that unhappy marriages are not always unhappy. Mm-hmm. However, sadly, we've just so focused on the unhappy part that we have visibly taken away from the good parts of any of those marriages. And our children are so focused on the unhappy, you know, unfulfilled parts that they're not even considering, like, okay, fine, the unhappy part was just like 15%. What about the rest of it? What about, you know, how we were growing up, how courageous our parents were in their own terms, helping us get the best of both education and life, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm sure that the course will be more helpful as just to beside reading a book. Mm-hmm. And how many Gen Zers do you know who read books and they're like, okay, yeah, I got the message. Like, okay. I mean, they do. They're smart people out there, mashallah tabarakallah. But definitely, I would highly recommend that get the book and get the course as well. Mashallah tabarakallah. I think it was Lisa Herring also. I'm forgetting the name that you mentioned. You've mentioned quite a few names as well, and their books and you know their ideologies and where certain things are coming from. Mm-hmm. And it's really good because the children or the young people can make comparisons. You said some men also read the book, which I think is good read for them too.
Yeah, I think it's you know, I think what we don't realize, because I was born and brought up in the UK, you know, from day one, we get certain messages that we just absorb and we don't even realize. I think, alhamdulillah, I think we're getting more savvy to realize when things are really blatant. But for a young woman living in the UK or in the US, you're told your life is you study, you go to university, you get a job, you know, marriage is something, if you want to do it, you can, especially nowadays, it's become so, you know, marriage is, for non-Muslim women, there's a really interesting book called All the Single Ladies. I've forgotten the name of the author, but I've read quite a lot of that book. And again, it was charting the history of women's rights and women and the lifestyle that a woman in the 21st century now chooses. And she was saying, and she, in all the facts, it was factually very accurate, that a woman has been in the best position as far as she doesn't need a man in her life because she has enough money, she can get a job, she has a plethora of choices. So she does not, staying single, it's like the best time of a woman's life. Why would you want to give that up? And the thing is that now, of course, for non-Muslim women, having relationships out of marriage and fulfilling her desires is possible through apps and Tinder and dating and hookups. So for a non-Muslim woman, that single lifestyle makes 100% makes sense for them. Every desire is being, and then if they can adopt kids, they can go and freeze their eggs. they really don't need a man. So for them, that lifestyle, they've got it, they've chosen it, that's up to them. But what's happening is we as Muslim women, we're being given that as not only an alternative, as the best alternative.
The best alternative, yes.
Yeah, and the Islamic alternative is, oh my God, you're going to have, it's so backward. You're going to have a man who's going to tell you what to do, and you're going to have tied down with children, and you can't travel, and you can't go out. And the movies and the music and the Netflix shows, that everyone is constantly telling us this. So it's not surprising that Muslim women are adopting it. And in a way, part of this book is just to make us think, hold on, let's just pause and stop and think, is that what we really want? And are our non-Muslim sisters,
really,
you know, are they really happy? Is this lifestyle, it looks amazing, but how happy are they really, you know, mentally and physically?
Because at the end of the day, we're not made to be lonely creatures.
Yes.
It's not in our fitra. Keep religion on the side. It's just not a human's fitra to you know, do these every time the heart breaks. I don't know how we have developed the skin to say that the heart doesn't break.
Mm.
Heart breaks. I mean,
yeah,
random meetings and all of it's
but don't you find, I think what is very concerning to me is how you now have a Muslim dating scene. You have a whole industry that is also telling Muslim women and men that, you know what, this is okay, you can do this, you know. Websites like Muslim Girl will have, you know, articles promoting this. You have, you know, and then you have, okay, Netflix will create shows that will have Muslim characters who again have adopted this very liberal progressive lifestyle. So, and then you've got art, you know, music artists. So now you've got a Muslim face to this narrative. And yes. I think it's very easy to then think this is normal, this is okay. And we really have to be more intelligent and more critical of what we're consuming.
Absolutely. About the apps, I've seen both men and women suffer. Because of, and I will let you know this, that my sister also got married through a marriage app, and I know other people who did get married through marriage apps. And if done responsibly and with the good intention, it does work for you. But yes. I've seen also personally the boys and the young boys and the young girls that I know who have suffered because of it, because there are so many options that it's a candy store, and people are, and especially the younger people are just playing. They're like swipe left, swipe right, and the word rejection that you've used in the book with that, the desire to be desirable, like how many times am I going to be rejected? First it was like putting a tray in front of people who are sitting in your living room. It's the same thing, just now it's behind the phone screens. And so you're like, and she says it so nicely. She says, like, random people who are like, okay fine, I'm so bored, I'll just say hi to her or hi to him, like
Yeah, it's dehumanized us, hasn't it? And it's presented, you know, it's fun, it's cool, it's so, you know, it's so modern, this is what we should be doing. And think, no, you've just commodified all of us as human beings and sexualized everyone and made everyone pretend. It's like they have to pretend to look a particular way, and everyone's face tuned their selfies anyway. So it's very fake. And you think, Allah didn't create us to be like that. So let's not take that. That's what I'm saying to sisters, reject it. You don't need to put yourself through that. There are alternatives. It will be harder because they've made it so easy, but don't do this to yourself. Because when that sister sent me that, I interviewed that sister for a podcast episode, and I was just, oh my God, I think that was one of the things that kind of gave me a kick to say, I need to write something. I need to do something here. Because, you know, as Muslims, when we see a problem, if you see an evil, and this is an evil, I see it. For Muslim men and women, it's become so hard to get married. And it's an evil. And so you hate it in your heart, you speak up against it, or you change it with your hand. And I thought, alhamdulillah, I think I can do all three, so I'm going to do it.
MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your effort, accept all the good intention that you've put in here. Alhamdulillah, mashallah, tabarakallah, jazakallah khair to everybody who helped support you.
Yeah.
Podcast and you know the whole thing, and the book cover is beautiful as well, mashallah. I like it. I really like it.
Yeah, mashallah. It was a Mandy artist, a sister who's a Mandy artist did it. She's so creative.
It's really I was holding it upside down, sorry people. But this is really good, mashallah. Get hold of the book. It's on Amazon and easily available.
Yeah, you can also, if you don't have Amazon, I've now put it on, if you go to my website, smartmuslima.com, that's without a H. if you go to click on, you'll see ebook, and you can get it on Google Play Books now. So that's another way to get it as well.
Jazakallah khair, Sister Farah, inshallah. This was an honor. Thank you so much for your time. Alhamdulillah. And see you soon again. And the podcast, I love the podcast. I want the audience to know that actually I started following Sister Farah, and I'm a big fan of her podcast. And as well as, you know, she said that I read a lot of books she has. And that's what also got me, you know, into learning the whole feminism, because our first conversations were regarding writing about it and all of that, and the book that,
yes,
that will be coming out as well, Thinking Muslim. Am I right?
Yeah, you're right. It will, inshallah. That's a long-term project. And so we're still working on it. That's still there, inshallah.
And that's how I, you know, got involved into understanding, because I, being a youth mentor, I knew stuff, but you know the crux of it, where you, so you got me into, so I consider you as my teacher as well. So.
Oh, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.
Thank you so much, inshallah, and inshallah, talk to you soon.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
I raise my hands in the dead of night, asking God for a better life. And I know that He'll be there in the moment. His mercy's not equivalent. Magnificent and infinite. فهالنداء يزيل عني ما في قلبي يا رب. يا من تنادي إنني قريب ولك أجيب لدمعة تنادي يا إلهي يا إلهي يا إلهي. Yeah.